up here, you can be turning to John chapter 8. The Gospel of John and chapter 8. We'll be picking up from where we left off last time in verse 21, and we'll be going through the end of the chapter. So we'll start off by reading John chapter 8, verse 21, and we'll go through verse 30 to start with. So John 8, 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself because he says, Where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. All right, so we have this continuation here. The Lord tells his critics, the people that were opposing him, that he is going away, not only referring here to his death and burial, but also to his resurrection and his ascension back to heaven. It's very clear in verse 22 that the Jews did not understand what he was talking about. They theorize amongst themselves that the Lord is talking about committing suicide, which he was not talking about. They ask, you know, will he kill himself? And that was not the case. And the Lord warns them again in verse 24 that they would die in their sins. And Christ again here makes another claim to deity. If you do not believe that I am being the I am that God would say in the Old Testament. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And then in verse 28, coming down a little bit, Jesus prophesies about the future again, referring to his death by crucifixion, saying, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. And then he says, And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And the Lord here, speaking of his crucifixion, he does not mean that his death and crucifixion would convince every single one of his critics, of his opposers, regarding his identity as the Messiah, but that his crucifixion would be key to many of them believing, making that choice for salvation. And then in verse 29, each of these phrases that the Lord speaks here is another claim to equality with God. He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Again, the Lord is putting himself on the same level as God the Father, saying that they are equal. And in fact, we do see many, as the Lord speaks this in verse 30, it says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him, no doubt some of which were genuine. Right. Any thoughts or comments from any brothers on this passage before we move on?
Just the many I ams that are mentioned in the Gospel of John, reminding us of when God declared to Moses, when Moses would say, "Who shall I tell them sent me?" And God Almighty would say, "I am." And when the Lord laid out the tabernacle in the Old Testament, it was a model for how we're going to approach and come to God. And through all these I ams, it's declaring the Lord Jesus is the only way to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The labor, I am the resurrection and the life. And then in the holy place, he declares himself to be the bread of life. Now he's saying, I'm the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And it should be just over and over, just screaming to the Jewish people that the only way to God is through him. It's the only way.
All right. Moving forward, we see our next little section here is going to be verses 31 through 36. And again, picking up on that theme of the Lord being the only way, the true way. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So the Lord here makes a distinguishes a difference in verse 31 between disciples and disciples indeed. True faith always has the quality of permanence. We are not saved by keeping Christ's teachings. But we continue or abide in his word because we are saved. And the Jews in verse 33 obviously had some qualms about this reference the Lord makes to being made free. And they boast of their descent, saying, "We're of Abraham. We're Abraham's descendants." And then they assert that they've never been enslaved before. They've never been in bondage, which, if you know anything about their history, is very clearly false. It's not true in the slightest. Just to list off some of the people that had enslaved the nation of Israel, you have the nation of Egypt, you have Assyria, you have Babylon, you have Persia, you have Greece. And then at the time that they're saying this, they're under the control of Rome. So for them to come out and claim, "We've never been enslaved," I don't know what you're talking about. like I don't know if they were just like completely ignorant or like just forgetful, like whatever the case was, they're making this claim, "We've never been enslaved." It's like, you're enslaved right now. Like, right this very minute, you're enslaved to the Romans. What are you talking about? And the Lord answers in verse 34 and says, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Pointing out that the Lord again is speaking spiritually here, even if their claim to having not been enslaved physically was false, the Lord is pointing out beyond that, they were still slaves to sin, which was even more egregious. And the Lord is saying, I can make you free from sin. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Any thoughts, comments on this set of verses? Brother Enoch first.
So you made up you brought up an interesting point. They said we were never in bondage, but you mentioned Egypt and all the other, and even at that time they were Roman. So another way to look at it is maybe they don't know what it means to be free. And so it's like in many ways they need to have, you know, when Christ says you need to be free. What are you talking about? I'm fine where it is. So when you're in sin, it's hard to appreciate what it means to be about sin.
Brother Jim.
Yeah, one thing I think you're the word for abide would be better translated out of we ought to rest in Him. Words have different meaning depending upon whether it's God that's doing it or man that's doing it. And I think that we do well to think in terms of God abiding in us, but we rest in Him. It's all by faith. We're not doing anything. The word abiding, there is a bit of will involved and a bit of doing. And I think that when it comes to man being in God, those of us who are blessed with being in Christ and in faith, that we are resting. We have peace and joy and righteousness in the kingdom of God because we rest in Him.
Any other thoughts before we move on? Again, as always, feel free to backtrack. I have no problems going back to previous things. All right, so next section is verses 37 through 47. So we'll pick up and read that. So John 8:37. This is the Lord speaking. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus said to them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So here the Lord acknowledges that they are indeed of Abraham's descendants physically, but goes on to say they are not Abraham's descendants spiritually. They are not Abraham's children. If they were Abraham's children, in verse 39, you would do the works of Abraham. Abraham would not have treated the Lord this way. The Jews answer in the beginning of verse 39, they make that same claim again, Abraham is our father. And in verse 41, we see them accusing the Lord of being born of fornication. Which has more the idea of a reference to idolatry. And the Jews here saying that they had not committed spiritual idolatry, that they were born of one Father, God. And the Lord's response to them is, that's not true either. In verse 42, he says, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. And very clearly, they did not love him. They were trying to kill him. And then we have verse 43, where he says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Found it interesting that it's not the same word there. It doesn't say, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my speech. It's two different words being used there. And kind of has this idea that Christ's word referred to the things that he taught. His speech referred to the words with which he expressed his truths. Kind of a subtle difference there. But the Lord says, why do you not understand the words with which I use to express my truth? Because you are not able to listen to the things that I teach you, the things that I am saying. And then in verse 44, the Lord makes this, comes right out and says, you are of your father the devil. So now the Lord is no longer refuting their claim of who they say their father is, but he's now telling them, your father is the devil, is an expression of the intention and the desire of their hearts. Their intention was to kill him, just as their father, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, and so on. Any thoughts on these verses? Dad.
Well, this section has a lot of interest, but starting at verse 31, Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, and this whole section, even up until him calling them of their father the devil, he's talking to those that believed him. And we've been emphasizing this at various portions in the Gospel of John, even starting from chapter 1, where Nathanael appears, and then in chapter 2, where his disciples did not yet believe. And then at the end of chapter 2, Jesus knew what was in man, and he didn't commit himself to them. And what does it mean to believe Jesus? And what does it mean for us? And so these things keep being emphasized, that when we read the words, they believed him, it doesn't mean what we sometimes think it means, that they were saved people and believed all the things that he would do in the end and benefit.
I was looking at verse 40. It says, But now you seek to kill me, but look at the address, a man that hath told you the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, when we had mentioned many, many times, of course, he was fully God and fully man, and the Godhead in him was veiled, and he came as man. He was made like, in all things, he was made like unto his brethren, of course, sin apart. He suffered as man. He basically went to the cross as man. He shed his blood as man, and yet he was always, always God. And yet he said the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. He was man, human being, dependent, always, always dependent upon God. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. So he was dependent on God the Father. So he died as man in our stead, and always, he was always, always God. When the Satan said, if thou be Christ, the Son of God, of course, you know, why don't you turn these stones into bread? He says, man shall not live by bread alone. So the Lord Jesus Christ died in our stead as man, and yet he was fully, fully God. And yet he, as man, never took everything up by himself, but he always consulted the Father, and the Father told him exactly what to do. As he said, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do.
Thank you. All right. Any other comments or thoughts before we move on to our final section here? Greg?
Just what Brother Mike was sharing about the Lord talking to those Jews who believed him. While it was pointed out that they did not believe in a saving sense of the word that we would understand today, if you ask them at that time, right at that verse, are you on his side? They probably would have said yes, because it says the words that it says concerning them. And yet they weren't true believers. And it's interesting to see that the Lord does not leave them in this state where they're thinking that they're maybe on his side when they're really not. And he will continue to talk to them and reveal to them that in fact they're not his, and that they should be his, of course. And so it is with people today. If they think that they are believers, looking into the Word of God would either confirm it, or it would start showing them here and there and there that, hey, wait a minute, maybe I'm not the believer I thought I was.
Yeah. Brother Jeff.
Hey, one quick thing I was thinking too is, you know, they had this terrible problem of seeing everything physically, you know, not spiritually. Christ was speaking to them in all these things in a spiritual way. And, you know, when they thought of, you know, being free and all that, it was more in a sense of being free from, you know, the Romans, or being, you know, free from the Egyptians in that case. And, you know, you think about it today, it's the same with people today. They're looking to be free from all these problems they have, you know, in this life now. And they actually come to Jesus, as they would say, for whatever it might be, the financial problem I have, or, you know, the alcoholism, the drug problem, or whatever it is. They want Jesus to be the pill for that problem, but they don't want to look at it from the spiritual sense. And you know, I think that's the you know, what we have to understand, and we have to, you know, especially with someone that, you know, whether they say they're a Christian or they're very interested in Christ, to make sure it's not just fix this problem, but it's to fix the spiritual problem of separated from God.
Yeah, and also going back to Craig and my father's point, made me think of the illustration that Craig has shared before with the the woman in the building and the fireman comes to her and the different types of believe where you can believe, believe on, believe about, and those subtle differences. And the fact that it's not doesn't necessarily say that they believed in him, but that doesn't mean that they were really believing on him in that sense. But they might have just believed him and just that head knowledge and not actually believed on him with their heart. But all right, continuing on to our final section here, we'll pick up in verse 48 and continue through to the end of the chapter. So John 8:48. Then the Jews answered and said to him, Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory, there is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, If anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say, I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So here we see the response of the Jews. They've now lost what little civility they had left. They call the Lord a Samaritan, resorting to this sort of abusive language, name-calling. They call him a Samaritan, which was not a good thing in their eyes. And they say that he has a demon. And the Lord responds, says, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I just got to thinking about the phrase and was just kind of thinking, man, I really hope that that can never be said of me, that I dishonor him. And then verse 58, this whole time, the Lord has been making all these claims, putting himself on the same level of as God, claiming equality with the Father. And finally, he says here in about, I think, the clearest language possible that they would have understood, says, Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. That same phrase that the Lord spoke to Moses in the Old Testament, that same phrase that they knew that he was claiming to be Jehovah, Yahweh, God the Father himself. And immediately we see the Jews finally understand this reference that the Lord is making. They knew what he meant, that he was claiming to be Jehovah, and it is for this that they then take up stones and are trying to kill him on the spot. This to them would have been, they were considering this blasphemy, that he would put himself at that level, even to dare to make such a claim. And the Lord miraculously leaves. He hid himself from them. I don't know what that means. Kind of in the cartoonish part of my brain, I kind of picture like he just like put like a blanket over his head and just kind of shuffled off to the side, like he hid himself. Like, I'm sure it wasn't actually like that, but that's kind of how it plays out in my head. That's the imagery that I get, that he hid himself from them, whatever that was, that they could know, they no longer knew where he was, and he went out of the temple going through the midst of them, for they were unwilling to accept the fact that the Messiah was in their midst, and they refused, the Jews here are refusing to allow him to reign over them. What a state for them to be in as a nation, as the people of God, that they would get to this point where the Messiah is standing in front of them, and yet they would refuse him and reject him and even take up stones to kill him. Any thoughts or comments from any brothers on this section or anything previous?
You said they went from loving him to hating him based just on a couple more words. And there's a fellow I know that goes to the same diner that I go to, and they're extremely political at this diner, and I try not to talk about those things, but they're very, very set in their ways. And this fellow opened up his mouth about something just loud enough for somebody else to hear. And immediately, you're one of them. And that was it. He had disenfranchised himself with a whole group of people just by uttering a few words. But the Lord, I'm sure he wouldn't do it again, but the Lord knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what the response would be. And he did it anyway.
Brother Jeff.
If I understand this correctly, in verse 24, when he said, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins, that he is actually in italics there, and that's not in the original, and that's what he said right there as well. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And they probably knew what he was saying there. It wasn't like a slip of the tongue that he just forgot to say he or something. I think they knew, and he certainly made it very clear at the end. You know, that was, you know, they just did not want to even consider that he was who he said he was. And I was thinking about, you know, how they talk about, you know, Abraham is our father. And, you know, we get that today with people. You know, sometimes you talk to someone and you're giving them the gospel and you start asking them questions and they start telling you that their family were all Christians. Oh, my grandmother, my great-grandmother and grandfather, and my parents, we're all Christians. And they're like somehow relying upon their family tree of believers for them. But, you know, like Jesus said to the disciples, you know, who do you say that I am? And that's what he was trying to get to them too. Who do you say that?
You were mentioning that the physical descendants of Abraham, and of course we remember about the rich man who died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments, and then he looks and he sees Abraham and he calls him Father Abraham. So he was also a descendant, a physical descendant of Abraham, but then, of course, that did not make him the Son of God and the true spiritual Son of Abraham by faith. He was in hell, and he was pleading for Abraham to send Lazarus to go and see his brothers because they had not repented, so that, you know, he had not repented, so that they would repent also. Very interesting.
All right. I think that brings us to time. So thank you all for your contributions through this study. This brings us to the end of our little booklet here. So much appreciated. Thank you all. We'll turn it back over to Haley and Sharon.